You are listening to a special interview series hosted by Free City Radio that is taking place in collaboration with a conference and concert in Montreal called Music and Anti-Fascism: Reflections on the Past and Possibilities in the Present. So this is an interview series that I'm hosting in collaboration with this conference. I'm Stefan Christoph and host Free City Radio. We, of course, are a weekly radio program and podcast. This interview series is basically conversations I've had with artists reflecting on their own creative practice, but also their relationship to activism. These interviews feature musicians who are joining a concert in July 2022 as part of this conference. And I wanted to take the opportunity to speak with artists about their practice, their work, and the intersections between their musical ideas and their musical practices and activism within this time of urgency when it comes to struggles for justice, when it comes to struggles against fascism internationally. It was great to get to record these interviews with an awesome set of artists here in the city, in Montreal. We will now go to an interview with Marcus Floats, who is a visual artist and musician. We talked about his practice as a musician. Some interesting and really thoughtful points came up around taking time to create and carving that out and being intentional about that. Also, we talked about gentrification and the place of artists in struggles for housing rights, particularly within Park Extension, a neighborhood in Montreal that is facing severe gentrification right now. And it was really a pleasure to get to speak with Marcus about his work. So here's our conversation. I'm in Montreal with artist Marcus Floats, musician also. And Marcus's work explores ambient sounds, rhythmic sounds, electronic music, plays in different ensembles, including the Egyptian Cotton Orchestra, has held numerous exhibitions of your visual art, which have been striking. So I'll just say hi, and, you know, we were just talking and mentioning it must be great to, like, do the art for your own albums.
Yeah, we were just saying that. Yeah, it's just nice to not have to, I mean, it sounds kind of bad, but not to have to collaborate too much, just to be, like, have full creative control top to bottom. I think I'm a little, I think if you really wanted, I took DIY a little too seriously, because I just want to do everything myself.
Respect.
Yeah, it's just, which is like pros and cons, you know. There's a lot of things that I feel like I probably should be asking for help with, but I kind of just enjoy trying my best. Yeah.
And I can imagine also there's a lot of experimentation there. Within your music, also sort of the setup. I mean, describing your music would be difficult, but you draw from a lot of different influences, I would imagine. I've listened to Third Album quite a lot. It's awesome. If you could share a bit about that album and sort of some of the themes or some of the ideas that went into the process or how it came together.
Okay. So Third Album is my third album. It was released on Constellation 2 years ago, right before the pandemic. What is its deal? Hard to say. Like, I kind of just am at home a lot, and I like making music, so I kind of just work. Just like you sit down and you try and make something that sounds like how you want it to sound, and you just keep struggling, and then eventually you're like, I think it's done.
How do you notice when you're getting to it? Is it a feeling, or
it's a feeling. It's also just like a lot of how to put it, sort of like a You're gonna have a lot of dead air in this interview.
We're gonna get all the ambient sounds.
It's yeah.
Great being outside.
It's so beautiful. I would say, I would put it like, when I can't fix anything else, it's close to done. Because, yeah, the way I work is like, I sort of like have a really scrappy demo with terrible sounds, but sort of the idea, like, usually start with the chords and like a little melody or something, and it sounds terrible, and then you just work on it. Which,
well,
I don't
so
know.
You actually have like a sort of a theme, like sort of a little melody or sort of chord structure to start.
Yeah, yeah, okay. For sure. Okay. Start with like, usually just start on piano or like with a piano sound.
Sure, sure.
I don't actually have a piano. Sort of lay out the structure. And then you just sort of, or I just sort of fill it in as I go along, being like, oh, what if this sound happened here? And then what if I moved this sound over here? And then you try and make each sound as right as it's supposed to, or like sound as good as it can. And then you mix it all together and you got a cake.
Respect. But I would imagine also like it's not necessarily a process that is totally smooth all the time. Like there's some patience there.
As I was saying earlier, I've sort of like given myself like 2.5 weeks to sort of like chill out and work on the fourth album, I guess. Okay. Technically maybe an EP or something in between, but yeah, as I was just going through old demos, and it's like some of them I haven't touched in literally 2 years. I'm wow. Just like, are the yeah, it's just weird to be like, because I started putting a time. There's like a timer plugin that you can use that just like lets you know how long you've been working on something.
Oh, okay.
And like when you started it and how many times you've worked on it.
Oh, okay.
So that's been really helpful. Just open up a project and be like, oh, I haven't touched this in 2 years. And
oh, okay, like a timestamp.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. That's been really nice, just as like a personal motivator. Yeah.
Okay. And I guess you have like so many different versions of each piece.
Yeah. Well, I guess I work kind of like iteratively. Like I kind of think of it as like software versions, where I always start with like 0.1. That's like the scrappiest demo. And then once it's like mostly formed, that's 1.0. And if I make any major changes, it becomes a version change. But yeah.
And are you sort of thinking about like are the pieces sort of reflecting, you know, your vibe in life at the moment, or are you trying to sort of have a more fantastical idea of like, oh, this is sort of a projection of another sort of feeling or an imaginary, or is it more just like a sharing of where you're at the moment?
I would say it's like a sharing of where I'm at more so, but it's never really on purpose. It's sort of like just life just creeps into the music you're making in this weird way. Like during the pandemic, I was walking along the train tracks a lot, and I noticed recently, coming back to these old new tracks, that there's just like a lot of like train-ish sounds that have just like creeped in, and like the sound of those like barriers that come down, a lot of dinging, rhythmic dinging, and like, I don't know, yeah, it's been it's weird. It's just a weird thing making music. Who knows how you do it?
So in a sense, it's like some of the atmospheres in your life are definitely impacting what you're doing in more like a subconscious way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good way of putting it. Of just sort of, yeah. Yeah.
And so third album, which I've played on Free City Radio before, Tracks From, is a project that you're sort of following up on right now, in your own pace. So like, we're sort of at this strange moment for musicians where, like, I don't know if this relates at all to how you feel about the pandemic, but at least on my part, it's like during the pandemic, you felt like I felt super confused because so much about, I mean, for many, many other bigger reasons, but I mean, just in terms of like making music, mm-hmm. because so much of the music making experience was always, you know, either like, even if it was a solo thing, it was like based on like, oh, you've had these conversations at this space or at this concert, or mm-hmm. I saw this artist, or I had a duet with this person and it thought made me think about even what I'm doing solo in this way, you know, yeah. like that sort of in-person dialogue stopped.
Yeah, that was, it's so strange. It's just like, yeah, I grew up in Calgary, started going to like all ages shows when I was like 15, 16, so there's always been that community aspect. Like, that's how you start a band, is you go to a show and you see someone playing, and then like yeah. a year later they're like, hey, do you want to start a band? Basically, yeah, like, that's yeah, how totally. Bands start.
Yeah.
And also just like having the yeah. a place to be bad, really, is like such an important zone. It's like no one's first band is good. And you just have to like work through it. And yeah, when shows stop, just to sort of like, when are all these bad bands going to get a chance to get good? But I guess like for me, it was also just very strange because yeah, as you're saying, there's just like so much happens at a show that's not just the music. It's like a yeah. very social environment, obviously. It's a very like, it's a place that you go where everyone's there for pretty much the same reason, and that's kind of rare.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's there because like they want to see music and they like music, and you talk to people about music, and yeah, there's like this sharing that happens that I missed a lot. I really did.
Did you? Yeah. Was it like super conscious? Were you like, I fucking miss this, or was it more just creeped up on you?
I would say the first like 6 months, I was pretty thankful to not have it anymore, because I think there's just like a lot that surround shows, especially bar shows. Look, drinking is just like unavoidable part of like being a musician in a lot of ways, and that's not a great thing, I would say. Even just like, you know, not getting paid in drink tickets, but just like, yeah, you're having like two or three drinks a night if you're playing, if you're on tour, you're just like, you're drinking a lot. So it was nice to give my body a break, at the very least, my body and my brain. But yeah, at a certain point I was just like, I really just want to go to a show. I really just want to see a band. I really just want to talk to people about whether or not they like that band and who was in that band, where they're from, and who else they played with, and you know, all these little things that happen at shows.
And how are you feeling about that, all that now?
I mean, I'm happy that it's back in the form it is now. Still very strange. We were talking earlier about like what to do with masks. There's like this weird thing of just like, if you're on stage, you don't have to wear a mask anymore suddenly. How do I feel about it now? No, I'm grateful. Yeah.
Really? That's a big word. Right on.
Yeah.
Grateful that people can gather
again? Grateful that people can gather again, and it's just like such a huge part of my life that disappeared, and I just had to like figure out other things to do, and I think I did a pretty good job of finding other things, but I'm happy to be back in this weird form that's not 100% and maybe never will be again.
So the community aspect of shows, I mean, that's how I know you, is sort of like around both like the sort of DIY community around concerts, but also like the sort of interchange between community activism and concerts and trying to like figure that out, which is super complicated, right? Like how can artists be part of activism? How can that support be real? And sort of like, where is activism in the arts community? how are these two spaces related? And I think that I'm being intentionally sort of vague about that, because it's like, that's also a work in progress, you know, like that those conversations, right? And mm-hmm. I also felt like during the pandemic, where is that gone, you know? Like, because there were so many urgent issues that came up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like we're just like dipping into the Black Square Instagram incident of just like, what can you do? What is like the right thing to do? And people are just like desperate to do something that makes sense. And yeah, it's fraught. It's fraught, especially like choosing which shows to play and which shows not to play, and the questionable morality of like fundraisers. And I'm just like, if like a millionaire raises $500, like what's the point? You know, like, or like all these business owners doing all these things that are good, but at the same time you're like, maybe shift that good intention to another zone. But I don't have the answers. I don't know. Just, I think I've heard it, I can't remember who said it, but it's sort of just like, there's this idea of just like pointing yourself in the right direction and then hoping for the best, really.
It's what, like, does that feel like for you?
For me, it's been trying to show up in certain ways, trying to pay attention to my neighborhood and what's going on in it.
Which is?
I live in Park Extension, where there is a wild housing crisis happening right now. Rent evictions. There's a HLM that's being shut down because the landlord was, you know, a garbage landlord who let the place just fall apart. You know, there's just like...
HLM, for people listening outside of Quebec, is public housing units.
Yeah, public housing unit. This one's specifically for old folks' home. It's like an old folks' home. I think non-assisted living, but yeah, there's just like tenants that have lived there for decades who are getting evicted now, and all their doctors are in the neighborhood. And it's just sort of like, these are avoidable problems, and they're also problems that are actionable in this weird way. Well, not a weird way. They're actionable, because it's, at least for me, because, you know, this place is like maybe like 6 blocks away from where I've lived for 5 years. And yeah, I think there's just a certain power in thinking very locally. Maybe that's like the little tiny anarchist in my brain. It's just like, if I could just get like 30 people who live around me, we could really make some changes. Yeah.
For people who don't really know what is Park Extension, people listening outside of Montreal, or maybe even people who aren't familiar with the neighborhood who are here in the city, a lot of artists live there now. A quick like idea of what is Park Extension?
Park Extension is, I think, one of the densest neighborhoods in Canada, if not the densest. It's a historically immigrant neighborhood, Greek, a lot of Indian, Pakistani. There's like 10 or 12 languages that are spoken there. It's like Tamil, Bengali, Urdu, Greek. It's colloquially known, I guess, like, not colloquially, but like the official, I'm not sure how I'm trying to preface this, but it's called a working class neighborhood. But if you live there, it's a poor neighborhood. There's lots of slumlords, there's lots of like bed bugs, rats, cockroaches. There's just lots of things that don't need to be as bad as they are. And it's just, I don't want to say laziness, but because laziness, I don't know. It's just, it's a beautiful neighborhood and I love living there. And yeah, it's
it's also where you create.
Yeah, it's where I create. It's where I spend most of my time. Jari Park is like such a good park. Yeah, I feel like I forgot the question.
Just like thinking about the neighborhood. And so you create there, that means your music, which we talked about a bit, but also your paintings. Mm-hmm. I get this, like the way the edges of the color tones in your paintings sort of visit each other. There's like this sort of, you know, in a dream when you're like with somebody,
yeah,
and you know they're there, mm-hmm. but you don't see them in the dream.
Okay,
like you're like doing, you know, like you're like walking in a mountain and in your dream, and somebody else, you know that they're present.
Yeah, like, but, oh, my cousin's there, but it's not my
cousin. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I feel like in your paintings, there's like this hazy, the way the colors mix. I mean, it's very beautiful. And there's also like this sort of trippy reality thing going on. I really like them. But but the paintings, yeah, like, what are some of the sort of processes or like when you're working on them, what's going on?
I don't know. Painting's weird for me. I started painting when I was with, not quite sure how to phrase this one either. I was dating someone, Pachamaro, an artist in their own right, and living with another artist, and I just, there was paint around, and I started painting. Nice. I've never, like, yeah, I picked it up maybe like 6 years ago, and just started doing it, never really taken any classes or had any interest before. So yeah, I still have a pretty hard time talking about my painting. I don't really have the language around it, but it's something that I really enjoy doing. I just sort of like book off some time and paint.
So you intentionally are like, you, and you said that about your music too, which I actually don't hear a lot of artists say that.
Okay.
Like say that I'm gonna book off time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people are like, oh well, I'll make time for it after work, or it's gonna happen.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then some people struggle with finding the time.
Oh yeah, it's that, that's like the real struggle. Like I've just like resigned myself to just being broke all the time because I can't work and work on music. Like it's just too hard. Yeah. So what I'll do is like last month I had a contract and I was just like, okay, this is the work month.
Okay.
And I was just like 9 to 5, not 9 to 5, but it was, yeah,
serious hours.
Just, yeah, some serious hours. Just like I'm working. I go to work, I come home, I eat, shower, go to sleep. And that's like, and then, yeah, with that little store, I have the time now to kind of, yeah, flop around and sleep in and smoke a ton of weed and play video games and
sort
paint.
Get into a different space.
Yeah, get into a different space. It's just a, like, yeah, the idea of like squeezing in like a little, like an hour of music time just doesn't work for me anymore. So I'm just gonna be broke.
So you need that space to ruminate, to try, experiment.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's just sort of like, my ideal situation is like I sit down and I work for like 6 hours, 6 or 7 hours, and then maybe don't work for a couple of days. But yeah.
Some people talk about like art creating like a space for reflection on both society, but your own experiences, one's experiences in life, mm-hmm. that is really important, or, you know, it could be like an output. It could be healing. It could be a way to express, you know, opposition to whatever issue. You know, we were talking about gentrification in Park X. Mm-hmm. It could be a broader sort of spiritual thing. Like, what is that like something that you think about when you create, or?
I do and I don't. I mean, I feel like part of that is just the natural output of art making. Like, I like to think of making art as just like this very fundamental human activity. It's just sort of this thing that human beings have done forever, literally forever, like as long as humans have been around. They've just like had this urge to just like sort of doodle or like scratch a thing into another thing, make something look like something else. It's just sort of like this part of our brains that need to be satisfied. And there's a lot of, I mean, yeah, you can direct it in different directions, or you can just do it for the love of the game, I guess. But,
Yeah.
It's a side of reflection. It's a side of a lot of things. It's like, I don't know, I've been thinking about church in this weird way, and just like how church, or like, to go back to shows, like, for me, shows fulfilled what I think might be a lot of what people find in church, of just like this sense of community. You know, there's just like people you see every week over and over again for years, and someone gets up on in front and like tells you about their feelings and their thoughts, and you're just like, oh yeah, we're bopping along. And yeah, there's just like these fundamental human needs that get met in different ways, and you know, different strokes for different folks.
Well, you were talking also just about, like, I get the sense, I know that you released something relatively recently that was referencing Marx.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a conflict there in terms of, like, art and the market. Mm-hmm. And something you've thought through a lot, I'm sure, in different ways. Do you have any reflections on that? Because you talked about it as, like, a something that's so essential to, like, human experience.
Yeah.
The market gets in there in a pretty nasty way.
For sure. I mean, yeah, when the pandemic started, I just like buckled down and read some theory, read most of Capital.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's a pretty fun book. And that was part of why I made that track. It's just like a long section from what was it? Chapter 33 or something. Ooh, it's starting to rain. And yeah, I guess the fun thing about Marx is that he doesn't really tell you what to do. He's just sort of like explaining how the system came about, and what labor is and what money is. And it's just like a fun way to think about the world. And oh, I feel like I'm getting derailed again. What was the question?
Just that. I mean, you did a track referencing Marx, and we're like talking about like art as like a fundamental human activity, mm-hmm. and how like the market gets in there and
right. Yeah, I think there's like a weird assumption that the market in contemporary capitalism is just like the natural state of order, and it's just not. It's just like this is all just made up. There's just these, like, companies weren't supposed to be this big. Like when capitalism started, there's like, oh, I own like 4 stores in this small town, I'm a big capitalist. But now it's like, oh, I own, you know, I have more money than most of the world. Or like, I don't know, it's just it's a very real problem, and I think we need to think about it in a very real way. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know. Yeah. It's like capitalism's pretty new. It's not a thing that humans have done forever, and it's based on a lot of not falsities, but like a lot of mistakes. It's built on slavery. So, I mean, like, if you can't even start with that, then we're missing the point.
Thanks for talking to me.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Pause Radio.
Exploring feminism and technology through space and time.